Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a wonderful hour for you this hour. It's about compassionate canines. We have two wonderful dogs with us. We've had the great pleasure to spend a few minutes with them, Beamish and Madigan, who are therapy dogs who also happen to be shelter dogs, so we'll hear their remarkable story. Molly Johnson is the founder of Compassionate Canines and a dog lover, and this is a volunteer-based group that was formed just this year to provide therapy dog teams a connection to one another and the opportunity to be part of a coordinated therapy dog volunteer effort in the Fox Valley. They, oh, honey, you're so cute. They're just darling. She will really have her talk. We'll have her talk in just a second here. So they meet with people who will be happy to have them there. They visit skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities, veterans' homes, schools, libraries, support groups, hospitals, hospice residents, and other places. And we're happy to have Beamish and Madigan with us, and Molly Johnson with us as well. And I understand, Molly, that Madigan does a little speaking. Is that
correct? She does indeed. Maddie, can you talk? Woof. Right here. Talk. Come on. Talk. Apparently it's not a large enough treat. We better bring out the big ones.
Maddie, can you
talk? Maddie. Talk.
Yay!
Oh, hey, Maddie.
It's funny how she'll do that all day, but then when she really needs to do it, she clams up.
Yeah, she might be a little bit of mic fright. You know, that'll happen to human beings, too.
Absolutely.
So it could definitely happen to dogs. Thank you so much for being here. I've been looking forward to this day for a long time, and your dogs are just beautiful and as friendly as can be.
That's exactly why they're perfect for therapy dog work. Absolutely. Madigan is just two. She just turned two in May. And I've got Beamish here laying at my feet, and she's a golden retriever. Beamish is about 6.5.
And they're both shelter dogs.
They were, indeed. Maddie, she came into our home when she was about 6 months old. And the reason why I chose her, and honestly, I never, ever advise anybody to get a puppy with the intention of that dog becoming a therapy dog, is their temperament can change quite a bit. So I recommend if somebody's looking for a dog to do therapy dog work with, to wait until they're more like two or three. The most success I've had with dogs in the past has been with animals that I have gotten at a later, you know, sort of a grown-up stage, two and three. Beamish I got at 3, and Maddie I got at 6 months. And again, she was a risk for me. I really didn't know if she would perform well. But clearly by the time she was a little over a year, I knew that she was going to be just right.
She's in your lap right now.
A 55-pound Labrador in my lap.
Oh,
good girl.
Oh. And what is it about dogs? They can create, and I've seen it happen in my own family with dogs too. They can just create this wonderful comfort for human beings. Why? What happens? What's the bond? What's the connection?
You know, I think as a volunteer in the community with a dog, it's an immediate connection to somebody that I don't know. It's a common... It's a springboard for conversation. So when I first meet with somebody, they can tell me a story usually immediately about a dog either they've had, a dog they'd known, a dog that was in their neighborhood when they were kids. And it's amazing. It's a springboard for conversation, and some really neat things happen from that point forward.
Tell me about Compassionate Canines.
Compassionate Canines is sort of a brainchild. We just started this. Actually, we had our first meeting last month. I'm very excited. We've got a group of therapy dog volunteers in the Fox Valley who have therapy dogs. They're out in the community working. And I discovered that after doing this, this is going to be our 18th year that we've been visiting with dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Clearly not with the two that I have here on my lap for 18 years. But I just discovered that volunteers kind of were out there in the community by themselves and didn't know any other therapy dog volunteer teams, didn't know maybe where other people were visiting, and thought, you know, we need to find a way to connect with one another and to share in the joys and the sorrows and our challenges and our concerns. And it's tough work, you know, being out in the community with a dog, working with people, all different populations. There's challenges with each of those. So we really formed the group to try to connect with one another more than anything. Almost, dare I say, support group?
Hmm.
I think that's probably
that's okay.
a good description.
Yeah. So these dogs are specifically trained. Tell me about the training they go through.
Well, it's not so much about the training. I always tell people if they have a dog that they're interested in doing therapy dog work with, their temperament has to be correct. Their temperament can't be changed. Temperament is 90% of the job. So if the dog is calm and polite and has manners, and isn't jumping, isn't hyper. And again, a dog who's hyper at one may calm down considerably by the time they're three. So people who have a one-year-old dog out there, don't abandon all hope. But truly, the training that's involved, I highly recommend that people earn their Canine Good Citizen Certificate with their dog. And that's a matter of learning basic commands, like sit and stay and down and come. Leave it is a command that I highly recommend people teach their dog. It's very simple. You can accomplish that in about 10 minutes.
You can? Leave it?
Absolutely. I can teach it to the dog a little bit quicker than I can with my own children.
Huh.
And oftentimes I hear my kids saying to one another, leave it. And I always have to remind them, you're not talking to the dog. You're talking to your sister. Because we use doggies so much in our house. So
so leave it means drop something you shouldn't
leave
have?
It means do not touch.
Oh.
So, for example, if we're in a medical setting, there might be icky Kleenex on the floor. There might be, very rarely would you ever see medication or a syringe. But imagine if the dog did put that in their mouth.
Right.
So when Maddie came home at 6 months, we changed her name. That was job number one. And the second thing I taught her was leave it.
Huh.
I mean, it helps just at home. If you drop something on the floor they shouldn't be eating, you drop something in the bathroom. It's a
right.
very, very helpful command.
Right.
So the training beyond the Canine Good Citizen Certificate that I recommend, and that's not a requirement, is to get your dog registered. And registering your dog with an organization, there's three major organizations that are national. One is Therapy Dogs, Inc., and Therapy Dogs, Inc. is a volunteer-run organization out of Wyoming. Your other option would be Therapy Dogs International, and that's out of Flanders, New Jersey. And then you've got Delta Society. Now, all of these organizations have different testing criteria. So if it were me, if I could create a hybrid of all three of these tests for me as a trainer, that would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
There's advantages and disadvantages, in my opinion, to each of those. So, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So. One day when I'm rich and famous, I'll have my own organization and we'll create our own test and we'll be certifying dogs.
You may not get rich with this profession, but you'll probably be famous.
I don't know. I'll take either one at this point.
So
but,
the dogs.
You know, the real, I guess the real advantage to a handler getting their dog registered as a therapy dog with one of those organizations is then when you're out volunteering with your dog, you are equipped with liability insurance that's provided by one of those bodies. So, for example, when I'm out volunteering with my two friends here today, $5 million of liability insurance accompanies me, the handler, not the dog. Because we can't sue dogs.
Right.
So I'm the registered handler. I'm the one who tested with the dog. I couldn't give Madigan here today to my husband and say, could you take her out to see somebody?
I see.
The insurance goes with me.
Right.
Yep.
And now you go to all kinds of different places. Tell me how you make the connections with hospices, hospitals, schools, et cetera.
Sure. Well, hospice is really a love for me. It's a really, really, it's a privilege to be with patients, and it's always been a real interest, and it's a privilege to visit people at the end of their life. So my connection with hospice anyway started, I actually used to work for a hospice in the Fox Valley, and I worked there for about 4 years and discovered that dogs really fit into the care plan nicely for a lot of people. So now that I'm no longer with hospice, I actually work for a funeral home in the Fox Valley. I work there about 30 hours a week at Wickman and Fargo Funeral Homes, and Beamish will sometimes come back with me on a volunteer basis to sit with families during visitation.
Really?
Yeah, visitations, at-need planning. Sometimes she'll go to people's services.
Really?
And we've got all kinds of really wonderful stories about how effective having the dog there was for a lot of family members, young and old. But, you know, for us, making a connection, whether it's hospice or skilled nursing or assisted living, veterans homes, schools, you know, I tell people, be creative. You know, you can take your dog just about anywhere. So it's up to the volunteer to make the connection on their own. And Compassionate Canines provides a way for volunteers in the community to help make that connection. So I can provide people names and phone numbers, and that sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're all there kind of sharing information about where we go, what we like about it. Oh, Lord. She is just wrecking the studio, listeners.
No,
she
not.
Is just...
she's just... I'm going to ask if she can come over here during one of the breaks.
Absolutely.
Madigan, I want you to be in my lap during this interview.
Good girl.
And the thing that happens is, and I noticed this with, I've told this story before on the air, but my dad spent some time in an assisted living, not very long. He had a stroke. He was 93 years old and loved dogs all his life. And that's why I love dogs. And he was in essentially a coma for... in and out for a few days before he died, but somebody had this 6-month-old puppy. I couldn't believe this dog was this well behaved. A red-haired coon dog. They're from Tennessee and Kentucky. And she said that she was going to train it to work at a children's hospital in Chicago. And I said, oh, please, 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 can you bring it in? And she put the dog on my dad's shoulder and I said to him, Dad, somebody's here to visit you. And he awoke from the coma, looked over, saw the dog, and this huge smile on his face. And he talked to the dog for a little while and then fell asleep again. But I knew what a great comfort and what a comfort it was to me, too. It was just a magic moment. It was wonderful.
We've had, in the almost 18 years that I've been doing this, I really wish that I had kept a diary, because I know that a lot of my early...
There's the riches.
I know.
You need to do a book on it.
Well, my early experiences with Calvin Coolidge, who was our first black lab. Well, not the very first dog we had. Yeah, we had Lyndon Johnson, Eleanor Roosevelt, Calvin Coolidge. Let's see. After Calvin Coolidge, we've had 9 dogs. So the dogs that are in the studio here today are dogs number 7 and 9. And number 8 is at home because he would for sure wreck the studio. He's a basset hound named Dudley. And actually, he is a therapy dog. And basset hounds, for anybody out there that has a basset hound, 1, I always say basset hound owners need a support group. And 2, you actually can train them to be effective therapy dogs. They just have to be matched to the right situation.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. But we have had a lot of really, really touching experiences. And honestly, it really, when I'm done with a volunteer job, whether it be hospice or a funeral home or at our local Center for Grieving Children in Appleton, when I leave, boy, I'm not so angry at my husband for not emptying the dishwasher. And I'm not so upset and quick to snap about who didn't fold the clothes in the dryer. It really puts things into perspective for me. And that is so important. And that's something that I think we all become so busy with our own lives, we forget. And it's a good job for me. It's not for everybody. Not everybody can deal with that kind of situation. Some people are more comfortable with their dogs as a team in other situations. But for me personally, it gives me just immeasurable joy.
Yes, I can tell. You need to do a diary, Molly.
Oh,
you really do.
I really.
It's a very nice thing to do. Just a short thing every day when you have an experience.
Well, I have to tell you, we did have a book at our house called The Naughty Naughty Pets Journal. And we're going to start chronicling all the naughty things our dogs did. And I kind of wish that we had done that, because that would have been a wonderful book of itself. It would have been very entertaining. You know, with a basset,
yes.
Life is very entertaining.
Yes.
So, but yeah, you know, I think we should probably start chronicling our adventures.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Absolutely.
What are the guys doing now?
Beamish is sound asleep. She's been through this before. She accompanies me on presentations all over the place. And I think she's used to hearing my voice when I do start talking. That means it's time to go to sleep. Heard this, been there, done that.
Madigan, you want to come over here, honey?
Maddie, come here.
Come here, Maddie.
Go say
come
hi.
On.
Over here.
Come on, Maddie.
No, around, Maddie.
Come on, honey.
Go
come
over
on
here.
Over. Go on.
Go
come on, Maddie.
Hi. There we go.
Thank you for coming over, bud. Where are you going? Hi. Cutie. Oh,
you can let go.
So darling. Will you stay with me for some of the interview? I've been looking forward to seeing you.
Maddie was really interested in looking out of the window because there's quite a few birds at this level.
Oh.
And she's a bird
Maddie.
Dog.
Oh,
so.
They're both here now. Hi, honeys. How are you? You can look at the birds.
I
the birds
love
are right
it.
Out there.
I love it.
Oh, look, I got both of them now.
And
skip the talk show.
That's right. Coming on at 11. Taking a short break.
Coming up at 11.
See, this is exactly what a therapy dog is supposed to do. They're initiating contact when I tell them to. They're not allowed to initiate contact when I don't allow it. Because honestly, there are people that you visit that don't want to see a dog.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're walking up and down the hallways at an assisted living facility. We typically will get one response or the other. on either end of the spectrum. Get that dog out of here, or, oh, bring him in here and he can come right up on my lap or right in bed with
yes.
me.
Right.
So it's more usually of the come right in.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Let's welcome phone calls. We can answer questions. Molly can answer questions about what it takes to have the temperament of a therapy dog, how you get trained, and also about compassionate canines, because they're trying to connect people who have therapy dogs, you know, to have a support group. Oh, these guys, I wish it were television just for now, only for
actually,
this moment.
Kathleen, I'm glad it's not television, because you should see my pants right now. They've been drooled on, shedded on, and like we said before, you know, the joke at my house is I look good at 6 o'clock in the morning for about 10 minutes, and from there it's downhill. So.
Right, guys? It's all worth it. Yeah, it is. Well, at any rate, I need to give you a phone number, which is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. And our guests this hour are Molly Johnson, founder of Compassionate Canines. She's been doing this for a number of years, but just about a month ago formed this support group for people who have therapy dogs who would like to connect with one another. And also joining us in studio are Beamish. Hi, Beamish and Madigan, who are sitting right next to me now and just being as sweet as can be. So let's take phone calls. We'll do it in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls now, and our number is 800-486-8655. Let's start our calls with Beth from Richland Center. Hi, Beth.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Beth.
I always knew you had a beautiful laugh, but it has peeled out like bells today. You have done a lot of wonderful programs over the years, and I've listened to many of them. This is the best.
Oh, Beth. The dogs thank you, Molly. Thanks, you guys.
Oh,
thank you. We're
well,
having a great
dogs
time.
Are people, and we love them, too.
Yeah,
and thank
I
goodness
know.
They love us.
I know.
The reason I'm calling, I'll see if I can be brief, other than my enormous appreciation for your both of you, all three of you, I beg your pardon, is that she wasn't speaking. That's what made me not say that. Is that when I heard the comment, I ought to write a book, my ears went up because I have helped people get published a few times
okay.
with very special things. I would be delighted to be a member of your team, my dear, to help you write your book, your first book. We'll think about the other two and three after that. I really, truly would. And secondly, I also do work which is therapeutically very co-harmonious with the work you're doing. And I would love to give you a few references so you could consider whether that was something that would be helpful to you.
What kind of setting do you work in, Beth?
I work with people, I'm just beginning in this professionally. I've been training for a long time. I do work that's called meridian therapy or meridian tapping, and it's related to acupuncture, but no needles. And it's been effective both on two-legged and four-legged people. Very effective.
Interesting.
Helping all of us to calm down, discover our options, and be happy puppies.
Excellent. Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. Well, Beth, I would encourage you to go to the Compassionate Canines website, and you can get in touch with me directly that way.
I'd love to.
It's Compassionate Canines, and canines is one word spelled out, .org.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth.
I look forward to speaking with you further, and to your dog friend, thank you so much.
I will tell
for
them.
Being here.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. That's great. There goes the book, huh?
All right.
All right. Let's go to Tom next from Poinette. Oh, there we go. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to commend this lady for the work that she does. I think it's just marvelous.
Thank you so much, Tom.
You bet. I have a kind of a curious question. I'm wondering how it is you came up with the names of your dogs, particularly Madigan.
Ah, Madigan is Irish for a little dog.
Oh, it is.
It is. Okay. And Beamish is Irish for smiling and full of optimism.
Oh.
Oh, great.
And I'm Irish. You know, Molly. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Madigan actually is she's a black lab, but she's pretty tiny. She's about 53 pounds.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, thank you again for the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. It's absolute joy for us.
Great.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Paul from Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm not using a therapy dog except for the one that I own. I still haven't gotten a diagnosis of what my situation is, but it started a couple of weeks ago. And even as I sit here, I've got cold compresses on my arms and my legs. I've broken out in a rash all over my body. And I've been to the doctor, and my dog, my sweet 15-year-old cow, has been checking up on me at night. She never used to do this. She's never done this. She'll come over to the bed and lick my arm or lick my face to make me wake up.
Hmm.
And this morning, I can tell she's really distressed because when I got up this morning, she was under my desk.
Hmm.
And I've never seen her do that before.
Have you been to the doctor, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. In fact, I'm waiting for the results of a biopsy. And I've got a couple more. The doctors are a little stumped. They don't know what's going on.
Oh.
But, boy, I don't know what I would do without her because she just, I realize I've got, she's 15 years old. I got to keep her going and I got to keep myself going for whatever time she has left.
Right.
And it just gives me a lot of hope.
Mm. Molly.
Honestly, I do think that dogs really sense our emotions. Mm-hmm. When we're sad or we're troubled, I do think that they're near us, and they have a tendency to want to stay with us and not want to leave.
Is there, when he talked about his dog really being in touch with him, he's going through a medical procedure right now, but what's the difference between a service dog and a therapy dog? Would he be in need of a service dog or a therapy dog?
Well, it would really depend on diagnosis. It would depend on what kind of needs he has, and that would be something that his doctor can assess.
Right.
But therapy dogs, this is a really good time to bring this point up, is that a therapy dog is not a service dog. They do not have the same access rights. I can't take Beamish flying with me and have her at my feet. I can't bring her to the grocery store. I can't take her to the post office. And it's up to me to be an ethical handler. When she's wearing her vest that says therapy dog, please pet me. People can mistake that as a therapy dog. And it's my job as a handler to tell people, you know what, she cannot come in. She
right.
can't come, and I'm not even going to try.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Paul, very much. I hope the doctor's visits go well for you and you get better. We have a couple lines open if you'd like to join us. Our number is 800-486-8655. Jean is next from Madison. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I don't know if I heard this wrong or if I'm just not understanding, but she was talking about volunteering and coming home and appreciating things more. One of the places was a funeral home, and I can't put the two together.
Yes. Actually, my dogs do volunteer at a funeral home. And what I guess I'm just not following your question. I understand. Sure, I understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
Honestly, for me, when I'm sitting with a family that's grieving, when I'm sitting with somebody in a hospice facility, and I look at the difficulties that a family is having at any given time, and for me, that makes the problems in my life seem so minute that I appreciate the fact that I have a dishwasher and the fact that the dishwasher works and the fact that I have a family that's healthy and walking around my house, and that I don't have the same kinds of issues to deal with that some of these families do. It's very hard.
That part I understand. I guess you just explained it without even really explaining it. I didn't understand where you would use it in the context of where you would use the dog in the context of a funeral home.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Bemish, in particular, she'll sit with families during at-need planning. So families who have just had somebody in their family die, Bemish will sit with that family oftentimes while the family's planning the funeral. She'll also come to family visitations, so she'll often sit with kids. She's just as much help to some of the grown-ups, even though the grown-ups don't like to admit it. But we've had experiences where kids have been prompted, pretty strongly prompted, by parents to go and visit grandma or grandpa in an open casket, and they're not comfortable doing that. They don't want to do it. And you know what? I work at a funeral home, and to me, it can be pretty scary, too. So oftentimes, we did have one experience with a young man who really wanted to go and say goodbye to Grandpa, but just couldn't do it. And he kept hanging around Bemish and hanging around Bemish. Yeah. And, you know, she was kind of a start of a conversation that led for about an hour. And at the end of the conversation, getting toward the end of the visitation, he said, could I take her with me to see Grandpa? So gave him the leash and walked with him up to see Grandpa. And, you know, for Bemish, I think that was another spot for him, more or less, to, release emotions. And he was talking to her a little bit, too. You know, I'm afraid. And, you know, when we don't talk to our dogs and we talk to people, people try to fix. People judge. Mm-hmm. And dogs don't do either of those things.
Mm-hmm. Really, that's true. You can just sit and talk to your dog.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Absolutely.
It's great to have a dog. Thank you very much for your call. You talk about, I wonder if there are certain kinds of dogs of breeds that are better. You mentioned your Basset Hound a couple times, and yes, indeed, they can be a therapy dog. And you've got a lab and a retriever in the studio with us. Are they the dogs that we traditionally think of, and there's good reason for thinking of them as therapy dogs?
Not necessarily. Any breed can be tested. So even some of the breeds that are considered by insurance companies to be at-risk breeds, such as Akitas, Dobermans, Staffordshire Bull Terriers, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, although I think German Shepherds have now fallen off that at-risk list. But any dog can be a therapy dog. We're looking for the right temperament.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. The dog has to be a year old to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, if they can do a few tricks, that's always fun. But by all means, that's not a requirement. Bemish can do a couple cool tricks, but, you know, that only lasts a couple of minutes, and then you have all this time with somebody, and so you've got to fill that with conversation and other things. So,
Madigan is my buddy. Madigan, you're just really a cutie. All right, let's go to Susan from La Crosse next. Hi, Susan.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a story. It's not about a dog, but it's about a therapy cat. And we have a local nursing home that has a couple cats that live there. And there's one cat in particular that when one of the residents is going to be passing away, the cat will go up and put his paws on the face.
I have heard of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, Delta Society does register other kinds of animals other than dogs as therapy animals.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see pocket pets like hamsters and gerbils. They actually will register those. Bigger animals like miniature horses, pigs. In fact, I did run into a therapy pig once at a skilled nursing facility in Oshkosh. So there are all kinds of animals that can be visiting animals. It's not necessarily restricted to dogs.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Natalie is next from Viroqua. Hi, Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
I have a question similar to the one you just asked about types of dogs and which ones work well. I have Basenjis, which are nice-sized dogs, and they are just the sweetest, smallest dogs. I've often thought they would be great for therapy dogs. So they can be fairly willful. So calm is not a task that they've mastered very well. And so I'm wondering, you know, can they be good dogs? And where do you start for training? And we live in kind of rural Wisconsin, so.
Okay. And tell me, how old are the dogs? You have more than one, correct?
I have two. One is probably a better fit, I think, for a therapy dog, and he's 4.5.
Okay, and what makes you think that, just out of curiosity, just so I know where we're coming from, what makes you think that he'd be better over the other one?
The other one is a little bit nervous sometimes.
Okay.
Louder noises, but he is just always very calm and loves to go up to people. It's just the sweetest dog.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so you're in rural Wisconsin, and you need to start training your dog to be a therapy dog. What I would do is, you said cum is a problem?
Yeah, if he's not interested in coming, it's a problem.
Well, sure, I get that. Dudley, our Basset, I always say if you can train a Basset, you can train a bag of bricks. So
okay.
You can train your dog. If I can train my Basset, you can definitely train your Basenji. I would really highly recommend that you get a book called The Only Dog Training Book You'll Ever Need. And the author's name is a very, very long name, which I'm sorry, I can't even pronounce it, so I don't even want to try. It's a small book. It's probably $7 at the bookstore. And I would highly recommend starting with that book. And that book is has a really heavy emphasis on clicker training. Have you done any clicker training?
We have.
Okay.
And he's very good at sit and lay down, and, you know, he knows a few tricks, so when he wants to do it, he's good at it.
Excellent. So it's a matter of when he feels like doing it.
Right.
Okay, so here's what I'd recommend. One, get the book. Two, get that clicker out and use that on a consistent basis. And three, when you're training him, you need to train him with the most incredibly yummy treats that he's never, ever had, and they're only restricted for training. So if you give him milk bones or dried liver or something during the day as treats, get out the cheese, get out the liver sausage, get out something that he has never had before, and he can't deny it. He'll do what you ask him to do. And when you teach your dog to come, just one more little hint for you, uh-huh. is do not stand in front of your dog with your arms wide open saying come. Or don't even tap your thighs with your hands, because what that does from a dog's perspective is you're making yourself appear big, and it makes it look to the dog like you're protecting your space. So from a dog's viewpoint, they're not going to want to enter that space. That's your space. So the better way to teach them is get that clicker out, get some treats, get both of those by your hip, and you're going to run alongside the dog using the word come. Because when you watch Animal Planet or anything with wolves, they're all traveling together in a pack. They're all following somebody. They're not going to another wolf, but they're following. So I'd really, really emphasize getting that book. You'll be amazed at the difference once you start working. And make it consistent. Do it every day for 10 minutes, every single day.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for the call, Natalie. Let's talk about the support that your group offers of people who are working with therapy dogs. Do you get together? Do you have just email conversations?
What we've started is we plan to have quarterly meetings. We all meet. We share where we're visiting. We're sharing some of the concerns that we have as far as perhaps some of the situations that we've encountered with our dogs. And working with different populations, you encounter something different all the time. You have to be prepared.
Right.
So we're there chatting about what we're going to do with the website. What are we going to do? What's our next step? Are we going to get some brochures together, get those out to assisted livings, every single one in the valley, every single skilled nursing, every single place where we think a dog could be appropriate. And as those institutions are interested, we'd funnel those through, then post them. We've got a private group on LinkedIn. And so I'm in the process of establishing that group, but it's a private group. You have to be invited to join. So it'll consist strictly of people who have registered therapy dogs and who can then connect with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, I've sort of always been the person in between.
Right.
So I'm trying to step out and let people connect with one another.
Great. We have an email from Green Bay. Dawn is writing, my husband and I have two English Mastiffs. One is 4 years and 180 pounds.
Awesome.
And the other a year and a half and 175 pounds. We've always wanted to train them to be therapy dogs, but we're concerned their size makes them bad candidates. They have great personalities and are easy to train. Is there a preferred size or breed for therapy dogs?
There's neither a preferred size or breed. English Mastiffs can be one of the most gentle, wonderful, loving breeds and be very appropriate as a therapy dog. I do know of a dog in the valley who's a 248-pound Mastiff.
Ah!
He is the most ginormous dog you have ever seen, and I have seen 90-pound ladies ask for him to be as close to their bed as possible. So I would highly encourage her to – you can definitely – what was her name again? I'm sorry.
Her name is Dawn Spice.
Hey, Dawn, go on the Compassionate Canines website, and there's a page for training. You can check it out. I'm not sure where in Green Bay you are, if you're on North or South Side, but shoot me an email or check out that training page. And we've got training classes going on in Kaukauna.
Oh, great. Yep. All right, so it's CompassionateCaninesAllTogether.org.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Natalie, for the call. We go next to Scott from Superior. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. Nice to be on. I have a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever I've registered as a therapy dog, and I work as a counselor in a high school up here, and I bring her with me to work, and she's just great. And also, her name is Madra, which is, when we named her, we checked the Gaelic dictionary for what a dog is called, and that's what it said, was an Irish Madra is a dog. So I just perked up when I heard you talking about how you named your dogs before, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, anybody can call their dog Spot or Fluffy or whatever, but, you know, it's always nice to have a little history behind the dog's name.
Right.
It's also kind of a start of conversation, too, because a lot of people do ask, you know, Madigan, wow, that's a big name for such a small dog.
It's a good name. I like it. It's got substance.
Had you seen the name Madra when you were looking in the...
I did not. I will tell you, I was not responsible for naming her. It was my husband, and it was the bribe that we used to get a third dog that he would be allowed to name her. So I can't take any responsibility.
I do have two questions. One, I'm wondering if you do see more school people, particularly counselors, using therapy dogs. And then second question is, my dog in particular is a bit more on the aloof personality side, where I was told that is, it's better to be more aloof than it is to be overly outgoing. Sometimes aloof to the point where I have to say, okay, Madra, get up, say hi.
Yes, yep.
And if you have any tips for me there.
Well, I'll tell you, I do teach my dogs the command, go say hi, along with a hand signal.
Uh-huh.
You know, it needs to be a balance there. They can't be overly enthusiastic because, for heaven's sakes, that would probably mean that they're on somebody's lap, and that somebody doesn't appreciate that.
Right.
And on the other hand, you also don't want to force them to connect with somebody because maybe they're truly not comfortable doing that.
Right.
You know, one of the things that you could start with is when you do take her out, if you find that she's a little reluctant, you could use a treat to lure her to somebody. But I'm not a proponent of using treats on visits simply because it changes your dog's complete focus from visiting and wanting to do that and initiating contact to looking at you and the source of the food. You could start with the treats and start with a clicker and rewarding that behavior. It's when they begin to initiate contact, it would be a click and a treat. The click is the marker for you're doing the right thing. It doesn't sound like anything else out there. And if the treat, of course, being the reward. Those two always go together. You should not use one without the other.
Mm-hmm. Then to wean them off the treat as soon as possible.
Yeah. In that case, I mean, it's a matter of comfort. You know, for a dog, visiting is really, really stressful. You know, we're talking about temperature variance. We're talking about chemical smells. We're talking about all the different noises in a facility. And they're going to respond. Do you ever see her when she doesn't respond? What is she doing?
She's either focused on a piece of fuzz on the floor or just kind of in her own little world. Okay, I'm out in the hall here, and now I'm going to go outside. So I've got my nose pointed towards the door.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that what she's displaying are some what we call displacement signals. When you're out visiting with your dog, they're going to respond to their situation by signaling. Okay. And a lot of the signals that they may give off, for example, displacement signals, those signals in a dog's language mean, you know what, I know we're here in the same space, but I'm really not interested in visiting right now. So they may lick or scratch, or if you see your dog licking their lips a lot, they might chew on something, like you said, maybe interested in fuzz on the floor.
Yep.
You and I and everybody else may interpret that as, oh, they're being naughty, they're not listening. But honestly, what they're trying to tell you is, I'm really not interested right now. And if we punish that behavior, what will end up happening is the dog will stop signaling altogether, and ultimately that makes them less predictable when you're visiting.
Okay.
So just a little advice on that.
And tell me, Scott, how are you using your dog in counseling?
She sits in here in my office. I bring her a couple times a week, and then we'll walk around in the halls periodically, and it's so fun to see the kids respond to her. And when they come in, she's a very calming influence.
Right.
Just having her here, if she's even just laying down sleeping, somebody will come up, they'll go up to her, pet her, and it's a very calming influence. And then we'll visit our special education classrooms periodically, and so...
Oh, that's well, great. Bless you for involving your dog in your work.
That's great. Aww.
Well, thank you very much for the program and all you do, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Madigan, what are you doing, honey?
She's sniffing the microphone.
She's sniffing the mic. She's looking for another little treat, huh?
You talk.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we got to pause for a moment. I'm just carried away here. Well, we're talking this hour about compassionate canines, and our guest, Molly Johnson, is the founder of the organization, is a dog lover, has been doing work with her therapy dogs for many years. But this now is a volunteer-based group in the Fox Valley, and it's bringing therapy dog teams connected to one another. They bring comfort, support, animal companionship to a variety of people. It's okay, Madigan can talk.
She's going to keep talking.
Oh, she's going to keep talking? Oh, you just give her a hand signal and she talks.
Yep.
Isn't that something?
Good girl.
Oh, I need to learn how to do this. My dog rules my house. I need to do training. Okay. Oh, good dog. Well, what I need to tell you. Oh, and we have two of her therapy dogs with us, Beamish and Madigan. I know, I don't feel like I'm doing a radio show. And we're taking phone calls, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number. If you want to send an email, it's talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls now, 800-486-8655. Judy is next from Mason.
Hi.
Hi, Judy. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Judy. Go right ahead.
I just had a comment about the Basset Hounds.
Oh, bless you.
I have four of them.
Oh, you don't need a support group. You need one-on-one counseling.
Therapy dogs, and I've had cancer this winter recovering, and one of them has been by my side night and day. My mother's 93, and she lives in a high rise with a lot of people, and I have another one that goes there and visits, and when that dog gets by her, it just keys in on her and lays right by her and won't leave her side. I mean, it's just, they're amazing.
You know, and people mistake Bassets for being this dumb, dopey breed, and they are actually quite smart. They can be quite fast, and they are just absolutely, and they're just stubborn. You know, they kind of do things on their own time, and I always say they wake up and say, "What are you going to do for me today?" Where the Labrador wakes up and says, "What can I do for you today?"
Right,
absolutely.
But they've been a real joy to our lives, and just wonderful dogs.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad, another kindred soul.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
Let's go next to Gina from. This is good. Gina from Nina. I'm sure.
Hey, Molly Johnson.
Hello.
It's Gina from Brownie Troop 521.
Well, Gina, how are you?
Oh, very well. I'm so happy to hear you on the radio because you're such a cool lady.
Well, thank you so much. Beamish really enjoyed visiting with the Brownie Troop recently.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We loved Beamish. You know what I'm calling about is the neat experience that you've shared with my Lydia, who's now going to be a third grader, reading to therapy dogs and how just fantastic that is for people who love dogs and might be a little reluctant to be reluctant readers.
Absolutely. There is a program at both the Nina Library and the Appleton Library up in the Fox Valley. Kids Reading to Canines has been very, very popular. And the kids will sit and read to the dogs for about 15 minutes. And, of course, the dog isn't going to correct when the child makes a mistake. We've seen a lot of not only increased motivation, but self-esteem. It's just been a wonderfully successful program. And I'm so glad Lydia could read to them.
Yes, well, and then it's funny because she would go around the library trying to find books that she think dogs would be interested in.
Yes, that happens very frequently.
Yes. So anyway, it's another great way that therapy dogs can really enhance your life.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call.
Yes, bye.
Sarah is next from Powell Lake. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thank you so much for all you do, Molly. I think that's wonderful that you take your time out with your dogs and take the energy to train them and get and do that. With Basset Hounds, you don't know a Basset Hound until you see him do an agility course. There's nothing else like watching a Basset do agility.
Oh, my gosh. Will you send me the video? Because man, that could make my whole day.
I will go down and videotape. It's one of the agility trainers has two Bassets, and she runs her Bassets. They don't make any record time, but they run the course. So
that's amazing. That's wonderful.
But I have a little miniature dog, a little miniature dachshund, who is absolutely great. And every time we take him out, he just gets swarmed by older people. And he would be really good in nursing homes. Not real good with the kids.
Hello? Her line went. Okay.
But should we try to guess what her question was?
She has a miniature
dachshund. I do know of a dachshund, a miniature dachshund, short-haired dachshund, yes, who has actually been a really wonderful therapy dog. And the smaller dogs actually are just as effective as the larger dogs. You know, we've got to be cognizant of infection control policies in facilities and whether staff and patient want a dog on their lap. Would they prefer the dog to be on a chair next to them? But honestly, if you've got, I always say, Bassets are tough because they're long, they're hard to lift up. They're too short for people in wheelchairs, but they're too large sometimes for people in bed. But if you have a lab or you have the other extreme where you've got a smaller dog, it seems like actually it works out really quite well either way. Mm-hmm. So, but it's those middle in between dogs that are a little bit tougher on the handler, but there's ways to get around that.
Yeah. And how do you work it out with hospitals or with nursing homes? Do you have to get permission to bring your dogs in?
Typically, if I'm going to a facility that I've never been before, my first call is to the activity director.
I see.
To find out if they have an established pet therapy program. If so, do they have room? And not only do they have room, but what are their requirements? Because there need to be health requirements, temperament requirements, and registration requirements. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I do want to make really clear to everybody is that just because a dog is registered does not mean they're appropriate. That's a mistake that a lot of facilities make that say, oh, you have a registered therapy dog with Therapy Dogs, Inc. Wonderful. Come on in. Dudley's a great example. I don't like to take him into skilled nursing or hospice because he's a hound. And I cannot, well, if I had a lot of time, I could, but I can't train him to completely stay away from things that smell delicious. He'd much rather be with kids in that kind of a setting where there's no food.
Right.
And therefore, I would deem him inappropriate for some situations and appropriate for others. So, it's up to handlers to be really objective about what their skills are, what their dog's skills are, what they can do as a team, and choose, if somebody doesn't help them choose, to choose what might work out best for them.
Oh, Madigan.
Madigan's now up in Kathleen's lap.
Madigan. You want to talk, don't you? You want to do this show. Oh, you sweetheart. You want to do this show. She's really a wonderful dog. She's just so loving.
And for a Labrador to be that calm, right. We really struck gold. We did.
Yes, you did. Mwah. You did, huh? All right, honey. Should we take another phone call? Which one, Madigan? Want to take... Thank you, Sarah, for your call. Number one? Should we take line number one? Oh, yeah, because it's about you. Jim from Rhinelander. It's about labs. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, I want to talk about my third lab here, and I feel kind of guilty. I think I have a dog that would have been a great helper dog.
Ah.
I have my dogs for hunting, but this dog, she'll pick up anything for me and bring it to me. If I drop paper on the floor, like an envelope or whatever, she'll pick it up. If I'm working in the garage, she'll actually bring me tools.
Wow.
She'll bring me keys. My other labs never wanted to pick things up like keys, but she'll bring a set of keys right to your hand. It's just amazing, and I always think, boy, this dog really could have helped somebody.
Wow. So, wow. How old is the dog?
She's like 2.5 years old.
And this is, you said the younger one is the one that picks things up?
Right. She's 2.5 now, but, you know, this is my third lab, but, you know, they all retrieve, of course, but
sure.
She'll pick anything up. You know, things like keys to me wouldn't taste or feel good in the mouth, but she doesn't mind, you know, picking that up, screwdrivers.
Wow.
A wrench, anything like that, she'll pick it up.
I'll
be darned. All I do is point to something, and she looks around, and when she sees the object, you know, she'll bring it over.
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
Wow. A friend of mine introduced me to the concept of puppy bingo. This is just brand new to me last week. They use her dog, and she trains. She does a lot of agility training with her dog and quite a bit of obedience training. But she's actually trained her dog to play bingo with the residents.
Oh.
And they put all the balls that have the numbers on them in a pool
or in a
bucket. And when she cues the dog will go and pick up the ball and take it to the person who will then read it. And then they'll cue the dog to go back and get another ball and continue. And once somebody calls bingo, the dog is trained to then go and flip the bucket over so the balls go all over the place.
Oh.
So it's fun for the residents. You know, it keeps the dog involved. And Madigan is being a great big pest over there.
Oh, my gosh. She's just having a good time.
Maddie.
You like the radio, don't you? Oh, we're out of time. Darn it. We're out of time, guys. We better give the... We better give the web address again, right?
For more
information.
Please.
Okay. And it's CompassionateCaninesAllTogether.org.
Yep.
CompassionateCaninesif you want to find out more information about
There's pictures
everything.
Of Maddie on there and
Beamish
and Dudley.
You can see all of them, right?
Absolutely.
Honey, you want to watch the birds? What a total pleasure. Thank you so much for coming here, and I hope more people think about doing this. And
I do, too.
Had a great time.
I do, too. Thank you so much for having us. It's absolutely been a joy. Thank you.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you very much. Molly Johnson is the founder of Compassionate Canines, a dog lover who's been doing therapy work for a long time. We thank Madigan. Thank you, Madigan, for being with us. Beamish, thank you very much. Oh, we get a clip. You want to bark?
Bark.
Talk. The show's over. Oh, Madigan,
come
you got to talk.
Quick.
Okay, got to hurry. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Rob Schroeder for producing the show. Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. This is the Ideas Network.